on in. Welcome back to the show. We got a special guest coming up right now. Lady by the name of Miss Mary Claire Kendall. She's a Washington-based writer, Hollywood columnist, having regularly contributed to Forbes and Breitbart. Her newest book, Oasis, Conversion Stories of Hollywood Legends. Mary Claire, Lanny James, you've had an interesting life.
Oh, well, it's still interesting. It's fun. How are you this evening?
Hey, I'm great. Listen, I just wanted to touch this briefly. I'll be in L.A. About the 6th of November. I got a good friend who works at, I think it's KABC, does a morning show named Philip Palmer.
Oh.
Used to work with me in television when I was sports director at Channel 8. But my son, Mary Claire, just took over. Well, it's been about 14 months now at Neiman Marcus, Beverly Hills. And I talked to him the other night. He invited me to come out there, so I'm coming. But anyway, I said, how many stars have you met? Mary Claire, he had a list of 72.
70 stars?
72, I think he had written. Obviously, I didn't want him to read them all to me. But he mentioned several of them to me. What about that Hollywood group? And if you write about Hollywood, how much time do you spend out there?
I go out there at least every quarter. I'm working on a show which is about Hollywood legends.
Uh-huh.
They're different than Hollywood stars. Hollywood stars are legends in the making, you know, potentially. But so I get out there as much as I can. And of course, if this show goes, and never before told stories, I mean, I would think people would be interested in Humphrey Bogart, never before told story, I'll be out there more. I love it. But I like the East Coast, too. And you're down there in
Louisiana. Well, I used to go to New York a lot because I covered Grambling, and we used to play the only football game in Yankee Stadium, Mary Claire, every year. A thing called the Whitney Young Classic. I don't know if you ever heard of Grambling, but
yeah.
Hey, there's a great country. We got so much to see. I wanted to ask you something about the Hollywood folks, though. You know, you get Clooney and some of these other guys and gals that come out of there, and they accused of being, I don't know, kind of way out liberal. And if you're not a liberal, that you can be shut out. I wonder how John Voight's still working out there, and I'm sure there are a few others like that. Why that persuasion, you think, among the Hollywood people? Is it true of most of them?
Well, you know, and I work over a larger sweep, but I suppose, I don't know, you have to step back. I mean, because where we are is, you know, where we've been. It used to be very conservative. They all used to be Republicans, as you probably know. Louis B. Mayer and Mary Pickford and, Charlton Heston, Ronald Reagan. So it switched. It switched. Well, Ronald Reagan was a Democrat. There you go.
Right.
And so it goes back and forth. It switched in the 60s, you know, when the culture shifted. And so it was like a new wave. Like it was the French wave of film, you know, Bonnie and Clyde, you know, The Graduate. So everything, just the values shifted and the politics shifted. So it's stuck. I mean, I think the people in the arts are tend to be more liberal. They should stick to their knitting.
Yeah. Well, listen, you know, I was just thinking about this. I'm reading a printout I got about you here. I was living in Jackson, Mississippi. I just started in television, gosh, it's like 1969. We had a hurricane over there called Camille.
Yeah.
And Bob Hope came over and led a contingent of stars to try to raise money for that hurricane.
Oh.
How much did you know about Bob Hope? I mean, here's a guy that lived to be, 100 years old?
100.
And was big for years.
According to his biography, he was actually 2 years older, so he would have been, if that's true, his unofficial biographer, Groucho Marx's son Arthur, claimed that he was actually born in 1901. So that would have been 100.
Wow.
But yeah, he was 100. 100's good enough. So Bob Hope, yeah, isn't that amazing that he was... I read a lot about him. He's obviously one of my chapters. I actually met Dolores Hope in 1994. Never had the privilege of meeting Bob, but he had quite a journey. Speaking of Arthur Marx, I mean, he was quite, as I say, diplomatically, he excelled in everything, including, in his pursuit of women.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he really, but he was an amazing person. And finally, you know, my story has the faith dimension. And finally, for years and years, they were kind of working with him. And he was so impressed, he became friends of Cardinal Spellman. And so impressed, the troops gave him a bit bigger applause. And gradually, I think as he kind of realized that, you know, he was losing his mojo. I mean, he wasn't. It was when, I say, when he went on that, he was relegated to the tram when they inaugurated the Reagan Library back in 91.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he realized that kind of hit him between the eyes. And he became a Catholic in 96.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he was amazing. I mean, he was just, he had so much energy. He just, his schedule, if you read these biographies, I read all of his books, and then Richard Zoglin had a book that came out, although there were a lot of errors in it. My friend who was Hope's publicist tells me. But still, I mean, this guy had incredible amounts of energy. He just was going all the time, doing a fundraiser in Camille. You know, he had, you know, 20 other balls in the air.
Mary Claire, let's go back a little. I remember when I was growing up, of course, I watched movies, and that's one reason I always wanted to go to New York, because a lot of those movies in the early days were about New York City, and I grew up in Michigan. But Hollywood, I understand, it's a tough, tough racket out there, that it's hard to break in. I see where you've written 3 feature film screenplays, 3 pilot sitcoms, a TV action drama pilot. How do you get the breakthrough, Mary Claire? How'd that happen for you?
Well, no. Okay, let's clarify. They're all spec, and they're all in various stages of development. Right now, I'm really focused on this interview show, the television show. I'm working with a gentleman whose family were foundational to Hollywood. They built the studio that became Paramount. So it's just, you know, there's the saying, if you don't have a credit, you can't get an agent. If you don't have an agent, you can't get a credit. I've gotten a lot of feedback. I've gotten none of it has been produced, so I just want to clarify that. But I'm still, you know, moving forward, because
Claire, I don't want to be rude here or ugly, but you know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of Jerry Seinfeld and George when they were trying to write that sitcom for NBC. Remember that? It is tough to crack, right?
It is tough to crack, but I have a lot of friends. It's a question of, to be honest, I haven't had a chance to really focus as much as I need to, because I've been writing this book. My mom died last summer. I've just had a lot of balls in the air. I do have a gentleman who is a wounded warrior who has taken a great interest in the sitcom, and he produced, Matt Pennington produced the short film, A Marine's Guide to Fishing, which the New York Times, they said he was the best actor since Harold Russell in Best Years of Our Lives. So I probably shouldn't be announcing this on the air, but he's been very helpful.
Uh-huh.
So it's just a question. It's not like you call up a studio and you say, I have a sitcom, and they say, fine, I'll take 3 of those. I mean, it's real tough.
But
you don't give up. As my friend E.C. Lyle said, Hollywood is about its obsession, obsession. Like real estate is location, location, location. Hollywood is obsession, obsession, obsession. So, yeah, I'm focused on that TV show right now because I think it's a winner. I mean, when you have a never-before-told story about Humphrey Bogart, you think people would want to hear that.
Mary Claire, you know, I've been in television for a long time. I tell a lot of folks I came out of retirement to do this radio show. But I've noticed one thing about television, and it's probably the same in the business out there, Hollywood, theaters, and movies. There's so much jealousy, backstabbing in this business. And Mary Claire, I guess I was decent at what I did. I was never jealous of somebody who was good, but I had people that were jealous of me for no reason. I would imagine that you see that exemplified many times over among that so-called Hollywood elite out there in California. Is that true? Kind of dog eat dog, cutthroat?
Yeah, I'll tell you. See, now, Gary Cooper, you know, they thought he was so reticent and quiet. He purposely kept his mouth shut because he knew how jealous people were. Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you have to play the game smart. Absolutely. You know,
Do you know a lot of them out there, Mary Claire? Have you met a lot of Hollywood stars or not down through the years?
Have I met a lot of Hollywood stars? Oh, I've met a few. I mean, AC and let me. I have to think about it because I've met Gary Sinise, had my photo snapped with him. Let's see who. I did meet when I was at the Sundance Film Festival. I met some stars on the ski slope. If you want to meet stars, go. And when you're at the Sundance Film Festival, don't go to all the movies. Go to the ski slope.
Right.
I met the guy that the Jag, the guy who played the lawyer on. I didn't even know. I was like clueless. But afterwards, I realized I was skiing with this big star. I went to the Oscars in 2013, and I was on the red carpet as a journalist, and so I saw all the stars, and that was really interesting because you got to see the whole person, and so Angelina Jolie was gorgeous. You know, we know she's gorgeous, but her whole how she's put together was really. And others, you know, so, but you got really up close and to see what they were really like.
I want to get her daddy on this radio show. Now, I'm pretty conservative. He doesn't really fit out there. I wonder how he's treated. Now, he's such a good actor, such a good character actor. He can play so many different parts. But I've got a friend that's writing a book and met John Voight in somewhere in Alabama, Birmingham, I believe it was, a couple of weeks ago, gave him my number. I don't want to hear from him. But you mentioned Gary Sinise. Here's a guy that I've always respected. He seems to be conservative, but beyond that, he seems to really have a warm place in his heart for our veterans. And I find that pretty refreshing. How's he accepted out there?
A lot of them do. Mark Wahlberg.
Right.
Of course, yeah, no, I think there is a lot. But Gary Sinise really goes that extra mile. He's the Lieutenant Dan band. He has that Lieutenant Dan band that he plays. I mean, he's sort of he's really following in the footsteps with the USO of Bob Hope, who, of course, you know, he was amazing.
Yeah, he
amazing.
Was.
Amazing.
All those trips, I think they're around Christmas time.
Yeah.
And he brought all these sexy Hollywood stars with him. You know, I can't even remember the name of them, but some of them were always, the best looking, and I think the troops really appreciated that, and that was an admirable thing for him to do because that's a lot of travel involved.
Yeah, yeah. And the story that my friend Harry Flynn, he was saying, you know, some of the stories at Zoglin, that he actually flew in on a helicopter to perform on the shore after the Beirut massacre back in 83. So it was just, I mean, it was incredible. He was just, he was fearless. I mean, he was there with four, I think, SEALs, and they were, you know, had to go zigzag, zigzag, so they wouldn't be, you know, shot down.
I understand you worked in the administration of Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush.
Yeah.
How did that work? How'd that come about?
Oh, let's see. Okay, so I had done a little bit of, how did I get the, I knew the woman, I had some connection locally. I mean, I was a good writer, so I just was able to get that appointment in the Reagan administration. But in the Bush administration, I worked on the campaign. I left the Reagan administration in the summer of 88. August and went and worked on the campaign. I'd worked on the campaign in 87 as well, so that was really important. And then Bush won, George H.W., and I'll tell you, it was quite the scene after, because the Reagan people thought they were just going to stay in.
Right.
And I went to HHS, and it was like a mass, you know, pink slip. I think that's why Bush, they theorized why President H.W. Bush didn't win in 92. But yes, yeah, so it was just, I was just lucky. I was well blessed. I was blessed how I chose to work in the inaugural committee, on the transition team for nothing, volunteer, versus a cushy job on the inaugural committee. And then I was right there, you know, with all the muckety-mucks as they were making decisions. So you have to like maneuver. It's all, you know, Washington politics is all about knowing people. I guess Hollywood's the same thing.
You got a book out called Oasis. Tell us what that's all about.
Conversion Stories of Hollywood Legends. Yeah, well, I was just mentioning a little bit of it from about Bob Hope. So it's 12 legends of Hollywood, and they're, you know, you get a crisis in life, and then their faith journeys and how faith was so important to recovery and healing in their lives. And it's 12, so it's Alfred Hitchcock, Gary Cooper, Bob Hope, Mary Astor, John Wayne, and Southern, Jane Wyman, Susan Hayward, Lana Turner, Betty Hutton, Patricia Neal, and Ann Miller.
Are you saying John Wayne?
John Wayne Duke.
Yeah, I met him in Shreveport in about 1978 or 79. You know, the funny thing about that, Mary Claire, as I think about it, he was the guest at the Independence Bowl, and I was broadcasting the game on the MSLU network. But anyway, I had a chance to meet him at a get-together at a country club, and I asked him if I could have an interview with him. He says, look, I got to go talk to these people for about an hour. If you can wait around, I'll be glad to give you an interview. For some reason, Mary Claire, we left.
Oh.
6 months later, John Wayne is gone. Mm. To this day, I have many things I regret that I didn't do, but I wish I'd have stuck around.
Yeah.
But he, are you saying he became a devout Christian in the later days of his life, or was that because of the cancer scare, or how did that come about?
His first wife was Catholic, so he really took a shine to the Catholic faith. He used to love talking to the priests in the wee hours, and he admitted he was very selfish in his first marriage. So he was very, very prayerful soul. My friend A.J. Fennedy, who produced Rebel and Hondo, and he produced, directed, and wrote a film with Duke, and then became very good friends. They were both Irish. Said, in Durango, filming that film Chisholm, he'd see him in church on his knees, praying. You know, he was just a very very saintly person. That's what I make in my chapter.
Well, that surprises me. I didn't really realize that about
him. Yeah, and then the last day of his life, I mean, he was like in a coma. I mean, and then I don't know how this came about, but this Paulist priest, I guess he was the priest at the hospital, and said he could, come visit meet with him. And he was in a coma, and then his son told him that, and he, comes to. He says, okay. And he comes, and then he became a Catholic, and then died shortly thereafter. It's just amazing.
A lot of interesting stories from out of there, Mary Claire. As you look back, what's the most amazing story, or maybe the most amazing character? And boy, there's a list of them that came out of that Hollywood group over the years. Anybody stand out in your mind?
Oh, the most of the group that I wrote about,
or any of them? I'm just wondering, because there's so many stories, and I don't know how many of them are true and aren't.
Yeah. I think they are true. I mean, I you don't know if you haven't really talked to the person, but I think Betty Hutton's story is absolutely incredible. I mean, she was down to 88 pounds following her footsteps of her good friend Judy Garland and wanted to die. And then she saw this priest checking his bomb cook into this rehab center where she was. And she said, he's going to save my life. And he did. And she really had an incredible turnaround. She was addicted, terribly addicted, but overcame her demons. They're all amazing in their own way. No,
right.
I mean, I interviewed people very close to them, the priest who baptized Ann Miller. And, I mean, he's got the straight scoop. I mean, Father Pork Loftus, and just amazing how he happened to be there. They didn't know she was going to die. And they're all amazing stories. Patricia Neal, amazing. But they all had their foibles, and it was just that kind of goes with the territory. Amazing, though, how God intervenes in people's lives. He's there every step of the way.
Mary Claire, I remember, I just saw one of the old movies that she was in. Who would you just mention her last name? My age just showed up.
Patricia Neal.
Yeah, Patricia Neal was in the Day the Earth Stood Still. And I don't know how long it was after that, but she suffered a severe stroke at about 38, 39 years old,
right,
and lived into her 70s. I just thought that was remarkable,
right,
to be able to do that. I don't know what kind of doctor she had, but, normally when you suffer one at that age, you're in pretty bad shape.
Right. Her husband, Roald Dahl, really just threw her back. He was just really very determined to see her get back to her career because he knew that that's what she needed. So she had, I don't know, she had a strong will. She, as she says, Tennessee hillbillies don't conk out easy.
I think that's true. Hey, listen, tell us how we can get your book before we got to get out of here. I got another guest coming up here shortly.
Oh, yeah.
And you've been great. Amazon?
I've been all over the country, though, in Barnes & Nobles, you know, so it's
right.
been a lot of Barnes & Nobles. I don't know. I haven't been down to Louisiana, so, but you can just go in and they'll order it for you. But Amazon, it's my website, MaryClaireCinema.com. You just click on the book, and there's a bunch of links to Walmart, you know, every place you can get it online. And it's easily accessible, Barnes & Noble. Or you can just go into any of Barnes & Noble, and they'll get it for you.
Mary Claire Kendall, you've been fun. We've enjoyed having you on the show. Good luck to you out there.
Thank you, Lanny.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.